no mercy.
While Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa are both getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft, Burrow is currently the consensus number one overall pick and also has had a QBR that is nearly 40 higher than Tua's while under pressure last season. So, Shannon, would these stats convince even you to take Burrow over Tua? Did we get you here?
Absolutely not. Joe Burrow had a great season. With the all-time best season, I believe, in college football. But Tua has had a better career with a larger body of work. And when I look at it, okay, what happened in 2018? So are we just going to disregard that? No. Joe Brady came in. They had four stud wide receivers. They had a running back that's probably going to go somewhere second, maybe early third round. They had the nation's best offensive line. Now, when we look at Tua, and just the last 2 years, Skip, do you know Tua has had two of the top eight QBR seasons in the last 15 years? In 2018, he was 90, which ranked second to Kyler Murray. Last year was 91st. He was number one. As great a statistical season as Joe Burrow had, Tua had a higher QBR. Skip, you love QBR. That's your stat. You hang everything on QBR. And Tua's own was higher. I'm not taking anything away from Joe Burrow because I've said it, Skip, and I said it at the time. I believe it's the greatest college football season that we've ever witnessed. But it was one season. Is that the real Joe Burrow or was this an anomaly? Now, 2018 happened. He was 31st in QBR. He had just as many interceptions as touchdowns. But now we're going to just disregard that. Look at what Tua has done. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Joe Burrow is a 5 years college is 5 years in college. So let's just say for the sake of argument, Tua's coming out after his third year. Let's just say for the sake of argument, Jenny and Skip, Tua went back and played with Waddle, played with Devontae Smith behind that offensive line. Do you think he put up pretty good numbers? You think he'd be okay? Absolutely. So this notion that Joe Burrow is just like leaps and bounds better than Tua, I just don't see it because I'm looking at the entire body of work, not just one great statistical season. I'm looking at 2017, 2018, and 2019. So if you factor that all that in, I'm still taking Tua ahead of Burrow.
Shannon Sharp, if Tua did go back for yet another year at Alabama, you know and I know he would get hurt again. And I'm knocking on wood for him because I don't like to wish this upon anybody. But Tua is simply the most injured good quarterback I can ever remember in all my years of watching college football. He's had a wider variety of injuries than any quarterback I can ever remember. And we don't have time for me to list the litany of injuries. We all know how bad it got for him, going from concussions all the way down to two ankle surgeries and then a hip surgery that was career threatening. The odds are if you get hurt in college as much as Tua got hurt, he's just going to get hurt in pro football, and he would have gotten hurt if he'd gone back to Alabama again. I don't care how much you protect him. One little hit, he's brittle. He's just a quarterback who can't stay healthy, who can't avoid injury. So let's leave that be, and let's go back to the Todd McShay ESPN stat in question here. This is the one Todd McShay says he usually hangs his hat on in evaluating quarterbacks. It's what's your QBR under pressure, not under blitz pressure. We're talking about just straight four-man or sometimes three-man rush pressure. If your protection breaks down unexpectedly, it's not a blitzer coming. If somebody can't hold their block, and you get a pass rusher in your face, a defensive lineman in your face, what is your QBR under pressure? Joe Burrow shattered the all-time record, and they only keep this stat back to 2011, so it's been 9 years worth of numbers. And yet, in the 9 years, Tua's QBR actually ranks from last year against pressure pretty great. It was 44. Burrow's was 82.6. They've never seen anything like Burrow's stat against pressure, his QBR against breakdown of the against the pass rush. 82.6 to Tua's 44.1, which all time ranks pretty high because since this stat was kept, Only Sam Darnold has gone above 56. And if we look back at my homeboy when he was at Texas Tech in his last year, against pressure, his QBR was 32.9. So it wasn't very good. Andrew Luck's last year at Stanford was 23.7 QBR against pressure. It was horrible. That was one reason I told you I did not love Luck coming out. And I thought RG3 would be better, and he was better for 1 year until he got hurt and he lost his way. But the point is that you can't argue with any of these numbers. And it wasn't like for two games or four games or six games. It was the whole year. Joe Burrow got on a roll in which he didn't miss a pass the whole year. He didn't miss one at Austin against Texas. He didn't miss one at Tuscaloosa against Alabama. And then he goes on a three-game binge down the stretch of SEC championship game, national semifinals, and finals. And he goes 16 touchdowns to zero interceptions in those three games with a QBR of 98. It was just extraordinary. I don't know what else you need to see. That performance over a whole span of 1 year versus an injured quarterback, it's a no contest.
Skip, how long you say they've been keeping that stat since 2011? Oh, so if they've been keeping it since 2011, 2018 would also fall up under that time frame. Can you tell me what Joe Burrow's stat was under pressure in 2018? Because I'd be interested to know. Oh, you see, you want to make the argument to support, exactly, because you know why? Because it would go against the argument that he's better than Tua. Skip, 1 year? I tell you what, Akili Smith, Joey Harrington had 1 year. How'd that work out for you?
Jamarcus Russell had 1 year. How'd that work out for you? Go look it up.
Jamarcus Russell, how'd that work out for you?
Whether I liked or didn't like them. Yeah.
I get all that, but I'm just saying, go ahead, I'm listening.
Okay, the point is, it wasn't just for six games. He didn't just get hot down the stretch. He was playing with a very good team, but he was playing against very good teams in Georgia and Oklahoma's offense that he was going to have to keep up with. And then Clemson, obviously, in the championship game, he destroyed all three of them. If you look at the tape, and I'm just a watch the TV guy, my eye test on this young man said yes, 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 because I couldn't find a no. He's much bigger than Tua. He's almost 6'4". Tua's 6 feet tall. He's, to me, at least as athletic as Tua, because once Joe Burrow takes off, he can really run with it. He's a tougher kid. He's obviously more durable than Tua. And he's got a swagger to him. He's got a good arrogance about him that I always love in a quarterback. Because I told you, the first time I noticed him at the end of the game at Texas, he's over on the sideline pointing at UT fans up in the stands. I got you, and I got you, and I put you in your place. And then in the national championship game, he's running to the sideline in the fourth quarter saying, size me up, you know, for my ring. Whoa.
Yeah.
I love that attitude because he kept backing it up. He checked every box down the line for me, and you're going to have to give this one up because he is universally proclaimed the best pick in the draft, and Cincinnati would be foolish to give up that pick.
But, Skip, all I'm saying is that we get an opportunity to evaluate Tua of 2017, all of 2018, 2019. But all people want to do is evaluate Joe Burrow is on his historic great season in 2019. Nobody wants to talk about 2018. Well, Skip, you better look at this in its totality, because if you just look at a guy at his greatest moment, well, you're setting yourself up for failure, because in 2018, his QBR was 69, which was 31st, and he went from 31st to second. Tua went from second to first. So he didn't get worse. He got better. And as great a season as Joe Burrow had, as great a season as Joe Burrow had, he and Tua had the same number of touchdowns over 2018 and 2019, and Tua had fewer interceptions. As a historically great season as he had in 2019, he and Tua numbers are very comparable, minus the interceptions.
Shannon, Joe Burrow went to a program that had a prehistoric mindset when it came to offense. It was a run-based offense, and he had nobody to help him open it up and send five receivers out into the pattern until they went and got a bottom-rung assistant for the New Orleans Saints named Joe Brady, who came in and said, why don't you just let him throw it? Why don't we spread it out and throw it to our receivers? And I agree, they had stud receivers, but Tua had studder receivers. He had four potential first-round receivers, two who will go this year, two who could go next year in the first round. He had a track team of not only speed, but route-running capability. So don't go there either. In the end, I like Joe Burrow so much that, again, you know how much I like Dak Prescott. Dak is sideways. Mm-hmm. He's at an impasse over his contract. If you told me that the Bengals would take Dak Prescott right now and let Dallas take Joe Burrow number one overall, I would do that. I would take Joe Burrow and just start over with Joe because I believe in him enough that he could be at least as good as Dak, maybe even a little better as a thrower of the football. And I'm hoping Dak and Jerry figure it out, but I'm trying to underline to you how much I believe in Joe Burrow as the first overall pick.
Skip, you talk about Joe Burrow went to a prehistoric franchise in LSU. What the hell is St. Nick known for? Running the football and playing defense. It was Tua that forced him to expand his offense instead of going fullback, tailback, to go four wides, to go three wides and a running back. That was Tua that forced him to do that. And there's a reason why he's never had a quarterback, what, go higher than, what, the third round? Come on, Skip. Tua changed Alabama. We don't look at Alabama the same.
Shannon, I love him. But you know and I know it's going to be very difficult for Tua to stay healthy in pro football. That's period, end of story.
But that's another argument, Skip. This is about ability. They're trying to say that Burrow is just leaps and bounds, and I don't see it. Staying healthy, yes, but just ability? No, I don't see that. I don't see the vast difference that everybody else sees.
I will agree to disagree.
Okay. No mercy.
According to reports, the NFL will not make a decision about the potential reinstatement of D lineman Eldon Smith and Reggie Gregory before the draft, which makes things interesting for the Cowboys. So, Shannon, with that in mind, should the Cowboys take the best edge rusher at number 17 just in case?
No, I would take the best cornerback available at 17. Skip, they lost Byron Jones. They only had seven interceptions last year as a team. And tied for fewest, and you bring back Anthony Brown and Awuzie at the two starting cornerback spots. Skip, you need a corner. And hell, you're paying DeMarcus Lawrence $20 million. What the hell you paying him for? You need. I mean, come on, Skip. You just signed Gerald McCoy. I mean, and if the corner's gone, because we believe Okuda will be gone a lot earlier than that. But I hear they like this kid C.J. Henderson out of Florida, and I think there's another guy. I can't recall his name off the top of my head, Skip. You take that corner. Do you need someone on the back end? That has been the weak link for the Cowboy for the longest period of time. And if all those guys are gone, if there's a receiver there, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, you take him. Skip, you don't reach for a rusher if you need a corner. Take the corner and live this and then worry about an edge rusher in round two.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to wish the worst on my Cowboys. You want them to pick a bust at number 17 so that you can gloat next year, right? Just for the record. Just to disqualify your opinion.
No. Do you not need a cornerback? Yes or no? Do you not need a corner? Yes or no?
Even worse, we need an edge rusher. Because to me, I value the edge rusher above the cornerback. Because obviously they work hand in hand. But if you can't get to the quarterback, the cornerback often doesn't matter because obviously if you have too much time to throw, the best cornerback in the draft, C.J. Henderson, or as you said, Jeff Okuda, that they're going to have no chance covering a receiver for 7 seconds. So to me, Robert Quinn predictably took the money and ran to Chicago. I don't blame him a bit for that. But he was my best edge rusher, my best defensive end last year. DeMarcus Lawrence didn't remotely, as we know, live up to a $100 million contract last year. Did he have a shoulder issue that troubled him and slowed him down? Yes, he did. Can he be way better than he was? Yes, he has to be. So it's also troubling to me, Shannon, that they couldn't get a ruling quick enough on Alden Smith and or Randy Gregory to know if they're vulnerable at the other edge rusher. It's critical to this defense to have somebody else who can get to the passer. And again, maybe Commissioner Goodell would give Jerry Jones kind of a little wink, wink heads up. Yeah, I'm going to reinstate him. I just don't have time to do the paperwork mm-hmm. right now because obviously Commissioner Goodell has way more serious issues than reinstating Alden Smith or Randy Gregory on his plate right now. Mm-hmm. We know that. But do you really think he'd give Jerry Jones a heads up before the draft that they will get reinstated? Jerry has been an adversary of Commissioner Goodell, so I don't know that Roger's going to do Jerry any pre-draft favor here. So I'm saying you're hanging out to dry here, that you're highly vulnerable. If, in fact, one player, I'm going to hit you with one huge name here. If one player falls to 17, which is highly possible, you have to take this edge rusher. He just might be the best edge rusher in the draft. To my eye, just watching television, I thought that Kalavon Chasen at LSU leaped off my screen even more than I saw Chase Young leaping off my screen for the Ohio State. And obviously, Chase Young is just the runaway second pick in the draft, and we get that. And yet, I think we both have said, gee, they're in some of the big games, it looked like he just got engulfed, that his quickness just got overtaken by massive left tackles. So what I saw from Chasen when I watched LSU in big games, he was unblockable. And so then I read that earlier this week, the Cowboys did interview Chasen. So that's number one. And then number two, last night, I always like to read the capsules on NFL.com post combine from Lance Zierlein, who does an excellent job of breaking down the combine prospects. And when he wrote about Chasen, guess who he compared him to? And this is before we knew anything. He compared him to Alden Smith. He said he's the next possible Alden Smith, that he can be a game-changing pass rusher. He's 6'3", 254, so he's in that mid-range of where he's more athlete than physicality. But every time I watched mm-hmm. number 18 for LSU, he leaped off my screen. And by the way, they gave him number 18 because they consider that the leadership number on the LSU defense. And he was that. He led them in rushing the passer and as the leader on the field. So I love the intangibles. I love the tangibles. And again, Mel Kiper's got him going one pick earlier to Atlanta at 16. But if he falls to 17, Mel Kiper's got him falling well past that to Seattle at 28. And yet both acknowledge that he's the second best pass rusher in the draft, edge rusher. Man, mm-hmm. I'm taking Chasen right there. Bingo. Thank you very much. I don't care what your needs are at cornerback. You can figure that out. That TCU kid, Gladney, might be there in the second round. That's who Mel has them taking in the second round. So, Shannon, if he's there, I'll take Chasen over Chase, I think, in the long term. He just looks, to my eye, like he might be the better long-term game changer.
Skip, I'm looking at it, and Mel Kiper has them taking the safety out of Alabama, Xavier McKinney. Skip, I think they need secondary help more than they need an edge rusher. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence, and you believe that he had a shoulder injury, he was nicked. Okay, so he should be 100%. Now, you signed Gerald McCoy. Now, it looks like to me that Mike Nolan, the Mike Nolan I know, he likes to base out of a 3-4. And it seems to be that's the direction that they're heading, is in a 3-4. So with that, Skip, I still believe, I mean, C.J. Henderson is the second best rated corner. They got Terrell out of Clemson. They got Tavon Diggs out of Alabama. Skip, and I'm not saying it seems to be Okuda is the runaway number one corner. I think on everybody's draft board, he's the best corner out there. And clearly, he's going to be gone when the Cowboys pick at 17. But, Skip, you need secondary help. That was pathetic last year. In 16 games, you only had 7 picks. Really? So, for me, you need a corner. Okay, if Xavier McKinney is there, you got to take a secondary guy, Skip. A safety or a corner, you need that.
Okay, so the Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe is telling me he values corners above edge rushers.
No, Skip. But here's the thing. The question is, do you have the corner rated higher than the edge rusher? Because, okay, you need both. Okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, Skip, we need both. But the corner is rated higher on our draft board than the edge rusher. Then what do? You need both. But okay. One is rated higher than the other.
All right. I watched C.J. Henderson a lot play for the University of Florida last year, and he's really good. He is clearly the second best corner in this draft. In my eye test off television, I would say Chaisson would be higher on my draft board than even C.J. Henderson would be, and I'm pretty sure C.J. will be gone by the time the Cowboys pick at 17. There's some reason that teams aren't as sold on Chaisson, and I don't know why. He did not run at the combine. I think he had a hamstring or something. There was something going on with it. There's some reason that there's some skepticism that I don't get. I think he's going to be the steal of the draft. So on my draft board at 17, he would be higher than C.J. Henderson. But I get what you – I mean, obviously you need a corner, but what did I keep telling you about Byron Jones? He would make – a Pro Bowl and not intercept a pass. I can count on one hand the times he even got his hands on balls. He intercepted 2 passes in 5 years. He just has no ball instincts. So I think he was very overrated, and I think the Dolphins dramatically overpaid to get him. He can definitely cover. He's freakishly athletic. I give you that. And he's a big, strong corner. But he has no ball hawk skills. And so, to me, Anthony Brown's pretty good. Jordan Lewis is pretty good. You might be able to get away with him. And I told you, if you get the Gladney kid in the second round, he probably would start for you. So, again, Chaisson is my pick at 17 if he's there. And I think people are laying in the weeds to take him earlier, but we'll see about that.
Skip, let me tell you why people are not so sure on Clavon Chaisson. Is Bartavius Mingo. You remember that linebacker that came out of LSU and everybody's like, oh my God, they was ranting and raving. I think he went 6th overall to Cleveland. And then he went to New England. And then he went to Seattle. And so I don't know where he is now. Yeah. And I think that kind of scared because he could have kind of like the same body type as this kid here. And it kind of is kind of scaring people off. They're like, well, we thought we had a can't miss in Bartavius Mingo. And lo and behold, we missed bad. The question is, Skip, if 17, if C.J. Henderson and the chasing kid is there, you would rather them take the edge rusher as opposed to the corner. Because you do know, Skip, let's just say for the sake of argument, they hold up for just that bead longer. You're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Okay. It's a good point you make about Mingo. That was a long time ago. And obviously that doesn't mean that Chaisson is going to be a bust. And Mingo wasn't a bust. Mm-hmm. He just couldn't live up to the 6th overall pick. But I felt like he was more of a pure linebacker, while Chaisson is a pass rusher who can also drop and cover. I saw him drop and cover 2 or 3 times where I was like, wow, he can move, he can run. So, again, I think he's going to be way better than Mingo was. No mercy.
According to reports, the Packers are one of several teams who are, quote, doing varying levels of homework on Utah State quarterback Jordan Love for the upcoming draft. Aaron Rodgers is under contract for 4 more seasons in Green Bay, but the Packers did draft Rodgers when they still had Brett Favre under center. So, Shannon, what does it tell you that the Packers are one of those teams doing their homework and trying to learn as much as they can about Jordan Love?
It tells me they're one of the teams seem like they're cramming for an exam. The hay should be in the barn. You should have done your homework, your scouts. You should have had all the tape. You watched him at the combine. You should have done all your due diligence now. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you do select this kid, two things are going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is going to be very upset because you're drafting a player that inevitably is going to replace him. And second of all, you drafted a player that can't help him win right now. Aaron Rodgers believes I can win right now if you give me the right pieces. So, Skip, why would you not? Because it's hard for me to believe that Jordan Love is going to be the best prospect coming out of college at the quarterback position over the next 4 years. Aaron Rodgers, you're equipped to win right now. You have Aaron Rodgers. You don't go get another quarterback. You go get pieces that's going to help you win right now. Maybe you go get another receiver or put him out or tight end because you did lose Jimmy Graham. Maybe you get a tight end. The last couple of years, Skip, you see what they've done. They've shored up their defense. They went in free agency. They've been heavily involved in free agency. Skip, you got to go get pieces that's going to help Aaron Rodgers win. You don't get a piece that's going to help you, you know, 5 years from now. Aaron Rodgers is going to be upset if you take this guy. And Aaron does not strike me as a guy, Skip, that's going to say, you know what? I'm going to take this kid under my arm, and I'm going to show him the ropes. I'm going to show you how to be a quarterback in the NFL. I'm going to show you how to be a pro. I don't see that happening. Maybe you do, but I don't see that happening. He's going to be ticked if they take a quarterback in the first round, because everybody knows when they take a player in the first round, regardless of position, they drafting that guy to play sooner rather than later.
So maybe you're missing the point. Maybe the Packers have decided that Aaron Rodgers isn't the piece they need to go forward and win a Super Bowl. Maybe they've decided it's time to find the Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre. Maybe, what did this tell us, Shannon Sharp? Because when I read this story, I believe it was Saturday on ESPN.com, Matt Wells is the new coach. He was last year at Texas Tech, but obviously the year before he was at Utah State. He recruited and then coached Jordan Love through his best season at Utah State, which was two seasons ago, before Matt Wells left to go to Texas Tech, where he was only 4-8 last year. But under Matt Wells with Jordan Love, and they lost, I believe, something like 10 starters on offense, but
they did, yeah.
That year before, Utah State went 11-2, and Jordan Love was 32 touchdowns to only 6 interceptions with 7 rush touchdowns. Well, I'll be the first to admit, I didn't watch him that year, and I definitely didn't watch him last year when they went 7-6, and he threw 20 touchdowns to only 17 interceptions. So much higher interceptions, much lower touchdowns. So Matt Wells said to ESPN, 7 teams have called to ask me about Jordan Love. And I'm reading down the list and I'm thinking, Dolphins, okay, I get that. Saints, yeah, seems like Drew Brees is probably in his final year. Patriots, they definitely are in need of a quarterback. How about the Chargers? They're really in need of a quarterback. And how about the Redskins? I never was a big Dwayne Haskins fan. They could be in need of a quarterback. And there was one other team on the list, the Packers. Well, that's the team that caught my eye because I've been trying to tell you, Aaron Rodgers' stats have slowly declined over the last 4 years, steadily gone south in QBR and completion percentage, south, 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 each of the last 4 years, falling all the way in QBR last year to 18th and in completion percentage to 21st. Wow, that's not very good. And obviously, Aaron Rodgers went to one Super Bowl and only one. He did win it against Pittsburgh, but that was almost 10 years ago. And since then, he's been sub-500 in the playoffs. And since then, he's been spotty in his playoff performances. He's had some embarrassing losses. He's had some pretty lucky wins, such as the Dez caught it game. And I can go on to Mason Crossbar game. Took a 56 and 51-yard field goal that shouldn't have made it at all, but hand of God pushed both of them back inside the uprights at Jerry World to save Aaron Rodgers in those games. So maybe the Packers are thinking, gee, maybe we could steal an Aaron Rodgers later in the first round, because right now they're drafting 30th. I definitely don't think Jordan Love will last until 30th, though stranger things have happened, because Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people thought he was going to go first in that draft to his home area team, San Francisco. And Alex Smith went first, and all of a sudden, Aaron starts plunging down the first round, and he's sitting in the green room with longer and longer face, thinking, well, what has happened to me? And he didn't go until 24, obviously, to the Packers. Great pick. But he had to sit behind Brett Favre for 3 years, and they rebuilt his delivery, and they got him ready. So it was actually a great thing for Aaron Rodgers that he fell to 24. Maybe it could be a great thing for Jordan Love that he could now be in the Green Bay pipeline, but I think they're going to have to trade up some. They're going to have to go from 30 up to, I don't know, 20-ish. Again, Todd McShay thinks he's going to go all the way up at 6 to the Chargers, Jordan Love, and he well might. I'm just not sure about him because I saw him in the All-Star game. I know I've seen his highlights, his YouTube highlights, but I haven't watched him consistently enough because I chose not to have a real read on him. But everybody says he might have the biggest ability overall, athletic plus big arm, in this draft. So maybe that's the guy the Packers are going to try to steal in the first round to be the next Aaron Rodgers, because maybe they need a next Aaron Rodgers sooner than later.
Well, Skip, if you think about it, when they gave up 37 points and they gave up like 300 yards rushing in the championship game last year, was that Aaron Rodgers' fault? No, I don't think so. If you go back and look at the history, when they lost to the Giants, they were 15-1, and they gave up 37 points to Eli Manning. Was that Aaron Rodgers' fault? You look at when they gave up 44 to the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC Championship game. Was that Aaron Rodgers' fault? Or when they gave up 51 to the Arizona Cardinals, was that Aaron Rodgers' fault? You see, what we see here, what people see at home, is that when the Patriots used to lose, no matter what happened, it was Coach Belichick's fault. Now, they give up 50, they give up 45, they give up 37. That's Aaron Rodgers' fault. And what would make Rodgers even madder if you traded assets to move up and get this kid, as opposed to getting assets that's going to help me win right now? If people believe that there's nothing wrong with Tom Brady, but there's something wrong with Aaron Rodgers, those people need to be checked. Because Aaron Rodgers is just fine. He's shown, give him a little time, and he still can make all the throws as we saw last year. So if I'm the Packers, I'm going to get pieces that's going to help Aaron Rodgers win. Not a nice skip. It's kind of like right now. Now is not the time to be buying shiny toys in order to sit. Now is the time where we're living right now is to get things that's going to help us survive this. Having a nice little car in the garage, or getting a new ornament somewhere that's, ooh, you see what I got? What good is that? So for me, I look at, that's how Aaron Rodgers is looking at it. Don't be giving me anything that's not going to help me right now. If it's not going to help me right now, it's doing us a disservice. And I'm going to be ticked off, and I'm going to let y'all know. Y'all know, hey, I start drinking that scotch, I'm liable to say anything. That's how A-Rod rolled. Mm-hmm. So if y'all don't want the man talking all twisted, y'all better go ahead and get him a receiver, or you probably should get an offensive lineman to replace Bulaga that went to the Chargers. That's what you probably should do.
So Aaron Rodgers is now talking about playing into his 40s. But if you look at some of his playoff wins post-Super Bowl, he got to play. Help me out. Was this not a break? He got to play Joe Webb as the starting quarterback of the Vikings. He got to play Kirk Cousins when he was pretty much a disaster for the Redskins. He got to be the quarterback in the Dez Caudick game. He got to be the quarterback in the Mason Crossbar game. And he got to be the quarterback when Odell took his receivers to South Beach to sun themselves on a yacht to get ready for a game up on the frozen tundra, a playoff game against Aaron Rodgers' team. Was that not a big break for Aaron Rodgers? Because Odell dropped two big passes in the first quarter of that game. I'm sorry, his resume is not impressive. And one game that he lost was the game that he stunk in at Seattle in the NFC Championship game. So I'm sorry, his resume post-Super Bowl over the last 10 years is not one that you want to bank on for him to play into his 40s.
Blake Bortles, That's who Tom Brady beat 1 year to get to the Super Bowl. Blake Bortles. And guess who he lost to in the Super Bowl? Nick Foles. Nick Foles was so bad that the Jacksonville Jags was willing to eat $35 million. In dad money, say, get him up out of here. We want Garner Minshew. That's right. I'm going to say that slow for people at home. Garner Minshew won the starting role over Nick Foles. Nick Foles took down Tom Brady, and he can't hold a job outside of Philly. Let that sink in. He couldn't cut it with the Rams. He couldn't cut it with Kansas City. He couldn't do it in Jacksonville. Now he's moving on. And he took down Tom Brady.
Let this sink in. Tom Brady threw for an all-time playoff record 505 and put up 33 points and lost to Nick Foles because that sorry Bill Belichick and his defense gave up 41 to the backup quarterback, Nick Foles. And the final point was, he beat Blake Bortles in the AFC Championship game after he was down 20-10 early in the fourth quarter and threw for 138 yards against the Saxonville defense with 12 stitches in the palm of his throwing hand. Thank you very much for bringing those up.
Didn't Coach Belichick say he didn't have open heart surgery?
I gotta interrupt you guys.
Isn't that what Coach Belichick said?
That is not what he said, Shannon. Come on. We're going to leave it at that because somehow we started with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers and ended with Tom Brady and Foles. So, switching gears. No mercy. Bob McGinn of The Athletic pulled 17 NFL scouts ranking the best receivers in the upcoming draft. CeeDee Lamb took the top spot by just 1 point over Jerry Jeudy, but Lamb had 10 first-place votes compared to Jeudy's 5. So, Shannon, are you surprised that CeeDee had more first-place votes than your guy, Jerry Jeudy?
No, I think it's very close, and these are the two best receivers in football, but I'm still taking Jerry Jeudy. His ability to separate, his ability to get in and out of breaks. And Skip, I think we have the video. I was trying to explain it to you last week of what makes Jerry Jeudy so unique. The imagination, the ability to separate of what Jerry Jeudy brings to the table. His ability to run after the catch, playing in a big-time program. He can play outside the numbers. He can play in the slot. But he's a very, very unique individual. Skip, and I believe it is close because CeeDee Lamb is a slightly bigger. They're about the same speed. Jeudy might be a little faster. Great hands, great run after the catch. But I think the thing for me that distinguishes Jeudy is his ability to run routes. He's not technically sound. He's technically advanced. That's what separates them in my book. So I got no problem with people saying, well, you know, Jeudy, I believe Judy's slightly better. And some saying, CeeDee Lamb is slightly better than Jeudy. But for me, I like Jerry Jeudy and his ability to create separation at the top of the break.
Okay, here's why I told you from the start of last football season that I'll take CeeDee Lamb over Jerry Jeudy. As one scout told Bob McGinn about CeeDee, he just catches the crap out of the ball. That's what he does. He catches it and he runs with it. He's hard to get on the ground. One scout compared him to Anquan Boldin, and I like that because he plays so physically the way Anquan did. Now, another scout said this about Jerry Jeudy, and this puts him in the perspective I see him in. The scout said that Jerry Jeudy has lived in the ultimate football playground with speed merchants on the outside, point guard at quarterback in Tua, five-star offensive line, draftable running back in Najee Harris who can catch it as well as run it, and Jerry Jeudy plays in the slot and was never pressed. Bingo! He's in the slot, Shannon, often with three other receivers split out wide who are going to be first-round picks. And when you're not pressed in the slot, you kind of play smaller than you measured. And if you're not pressed, if you don't have anybody nose to nose with you, you don't have to worry about getting off physical press coverage. Yeah, you can run technically advanced routes because you're kind of running against air. I think he's going to have a harder time in pro football if somebody drafts him and says, you're our number one. I told you from the start, Jerry Jeudy's a two. He's more of a slot receiver. CeeDee is a one.
I love how this, he said he played the ultimate point guard. CeeDee Lamb's quarterback was Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. The last 2 years, there was a number one overall draft pick. Okay, that. He also played next to Hollywood Brown, who was a number one draft pick. They didn't mention that. Kyler's offense, last year in the league, he had the number one offensive line in college football. But that guy didn't mention that. Just Jerry Jeudy. Skip, I get it. If you want to highlight your guy, okay, fine. But don't try to highlight your guy and dismiss what he had, which was two number one overall draft picks at quarterback, a number one draft pick at wide receiver, the number one offensive line. Those running backs that he had were 6-7 yards a clip, over 1,000 yards rushing. So don't make it seem like CeeDee Lamb was playing with bum quarterbacks, that his offensive line was terrible, and they didn't have runners in the backfield. Don't do that. Make your point. Say, yes, this guy's tremendous after the catch. This guy has a huge catch radius. But when you bring in other things, okay, CeeDee Lamb had the same thing as Jerry Jeudy has. Tua, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. Okay, I get all that, Skip, but like I'm saying, it's close. But here's a, Skip, and you know why guys don't get pressed? Why you think guys end up there trying to put, why do you think guys are not trying to put their hands on Antonio Brown? Because you know if you press and miss, you're gone. He's gone. There's a very few people that you can press and make up that. You don't be really wanting to press Julio Jones. Why? Not only is he physical, Skip, the guy's 4'3". He's going to get up out of there. So you miss a guy like Jerry Jeudy. You press a guy like Odell and miss him, it's good night. That's why they don't press. And very few teams press the slot anyway, because normally, Skip, that guy have option. He has two ways to go. It's a lot easier to press outside than it is to press inside. I give you that. But Jerry Jeudy can also play outside of the numbers. So it's going to be very, very interesting. For me, I would take Jerry Jeudy because of his ability to separate at the top of routes.
Shannon, last year, CeeDee Lamb's quarterback was a guy Alabama rejected because he, quote unquote, couldn't throw. Jalen Hurts was the Oklahoma quarterback last year, and CeeDee Lamb was really the only go-to receiver, CD or bust, for Jalen Hurts, who improved, I thought, dramatically as a thrower of the football. I would draft him. I think you can win games with Jalen Hurts in the NFL. But CeeDee Lamb was it, and still, nobody, he got double and triple covered, albeit in the Big 12, which is a passing league. But nobody could stop him.
No,
nobody could get him on the ground, even Texas.
Hey, Skip, you remember, reminds me of a guy like Mike Thomas. You know Mike Thomas? He doesn't have anybody, does he, Skip? And guess what? Double and triple coverage and had 150 catches. So, Skip, if I want to get you the ball, I can get you the ball. And in the Big 12, where they don't really have defensive backs, bring that to the SEC. No mercy.